Hiya, folks. Welcome to System Mastery. This is Jeff with a little pre-show message for you. This is going to be our live show played this year, 2019, at Gen Con, where we reviewed Know Your Role, the WWE OGL role-playing game from around 2005. I'm giving you this advance warning because it's a live show. We're not very good at making live shows, if I'm honest, and we don't get a lot of time for setup at these events, so I've done what cleanup I can. But just to let you know in advance why it sounds the way it does and what's going on, it was live. And we're bad at that. Still, though, it's System Mastery, so enjoy. Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a dead horse 1d6 damage at a time. I'm your host, Jeff, and unfortunately, I'm all alone today. It's just me because my coward of a partner could not be bothered to make this appearance. It's okay. We'll figure some... Wait a minute. By God, that's Dude Loves music! Oh, no!
Jeff, this is your life.
Living in a nightmare of my own design. So, on the docket on System Mastery today... No, I love this music.
It's going the whole time.
Yeah, we're just going to keep it playing. On the docket today is 2005's WWE Know Your Role.
Know it. And shut your mouth.
And shut your mouth. And get the F out and Raw and, I don't know, Attitude Era, something.
Something.
Yeah. This is an interesting game. It's an actual licensed WWE RPG. You can tell right away because there isn't a single mention of Dungeons & Dragons anywhere in it, despite the fact that it's an OGL game.
Yeah, they hide the little OGL text that they have to put on, like, the last page scrunched down in the tiniest font just because they were so terrified that anyone might be like, oh, what is this, nerd shit? Oh, get out of here. I'm a wrestling fan, not a nerd. Thank you.
It is the weirdest book I've seen in quite some time because of that, because it feels like they didn't want the average. They didn't want it to be in a game store. I'm not sure where this was supposed to be sold. Maybe just online at WWE stores or something. The other thing is that because the WWE is so extraordinarily protective and careful with their licenses, you end up with a situation where the book was written in 2005, and that is exactly what's in the book.
Yeah. Like, there's not really any mention of anyone before that. Like, Stone Cold had just retired, and there is no mention of him anywhere in the book. In fact, the stunner...
There's a stunner. There's specifically... Because there's a whole list of real wrestling moves in the back. And the stunner is... it's attributed to Randy Orton. Yeah.
And that's some bullshit.
Yeah. So, I don't know if they had bad blood with Stone Cold at the time or what was going on, but it's such a product of its exact era that it's astonishing.
And there are so many TMs in there.
Oh, my God.
All the TMs.
They find extra excuses to put them in. There's parts where it'll be like, oh, if you want to have a ring person run in and interrupt a fight, then, say, for example, Triple H TM, then you roll the following set of dice, and then he runs in and does this. Also, you could continue doing it, parentheses, Batista TM, close. Done.
Great, thanks.
That's all it is. It's the weirdest. It's fascinating.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a great book. So the book starts out, it's just like any other OGL book. We've got the classic six Dungeons & Dragons stats.
Yeah. It's not anything particularly amazing as far as that goes. But once they start delving into, like, classes and races, it gets a little weird.
It's even better when it gets to magic items, really.
Oh, yeah.
Because they use every part of the OGL Buffalo, but they have to completely reskin it. It's fast. So stats are normal. You've got strength, dexterity.
That's right. You can't remember the D&D stats.
No, I just have so many other different types of stats in my head. Strength,
fighting,
dexterity,
agility, resources.
I've got a strawberry and fulminations. No, it's obvious. Strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom, charisma. Come on, man. Don't make me do my yeah. Not supposed to roll in this one. They want you to use the array, but if you do roll, they recommend a 4d6 drop low.
Yeah.
Now, that part's simple enough. When you get to classes, which is the next thing, has anyone ever actually read the D20 Modern game? Okay. That's just going to look real familiar to you in that situation because there's a strong wrestler, there's a high-flying agile wrestler, there's a tough wrestler.
Yeah, they just took all the stats and gave them a WrestleMan.
Yes.
That is representative of that.
With one kind of interesting exception, because wisdom is separated out. There isn't a wise wrestler.
Ah, the wise
yeah.
old wrestler.
Yeah, there isn't like a Rafiki wrestler, but instead there's the manager, which has been pulled out and assigned to wisdom. Which
so,
is,
you know, if you're playing a game of WrestleMans and everyone's like, yeah, and I'm going to go in and I'm going to throw this guy off the top rope. And you're like, I'm going to try and get you a better Nike deal. Like, that's my fun right there.
What are you doing? I'm going to put him in a choke slam. I'm going to hold that guy's urn.
I'm going to be real spooky about it.
Because the manager is a performing manager. It's the kind of person who comes out on stage and exhorts the audience. So it's your Paul Bearers. In that era, a lot of the divas were relegated to manager status. In fact, when you're flipping through the NPCs in the book, almost all of the divas that they list have mostly levels in manager.
Yeah, like Trish Stratus and Lita and all that. They're just like, oh, you've got one level in the charismatic wrestler and then like seven levels in manager.
Because mm-hmm.
that's all you're allowed to do because you're not a WrestleMans.
So, yeah. So there are six classes you can choose from. And just like any other OGL game, especially D20 Modern, you're encouraged to kind of dance around between them. Since obviously everyone's playing a human, there are no restrictions on multi-classing. You can take whatever levels and whatever kind of hero you'd like. Each one of them provides you with a couple of tracks that you can pick from that are basically the power source for that character.
Yeah, there's not really anything interesting about the classes because they are all exactly the same when you look at them. It's like, this level, you get to pick from your list of abilities. So if you're the strong wrestler, there's like, here's your bruiser powers and your, like, tossing powers and whatever, and you can just pick one every other level. And all of them are that. So it's you just look at, like, at level 2 I get a power, at level 4 I get a power.
Yeah.
All of them look exactly the same. This is exciting.
But that said, there is a lot of lean into the wrestling thing that the book's based on. For example, there's both intestinal fortitude as a feat and testicular fortitude as a feat that builds off intestinal fortitude.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah, so there's a lot of fun wrestling options in there. Each hero is going to get a different... there's three tracks for each one, so strong hero can take things like I'm really good at clotheslining, I'm especially good at lifting, or I'm particularly good at just big brawler moves.
Yeah.
Dexterity heroes can be dodgy, or they're very good off the top rope. It's pretty straightforward. The one thing I would say about it is that... Based on the example of play that's right around in this section, I have never seen a game that puts this much weight on the DM.
Oh, the DM has to do everything, because every roll you do, no matter what you are trying to do, everything is just a contested D20 roll with you and the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the whole game.
It's the whole game. The whole game. It's just you going, I'm going to flip to the back. The back of the book has about 15 pages of wrestling moves you can do. And you have to just sort of pick one. Be like, I will leg lock. Okay, great. The other guy, I'll suplex. You roll. And then the example of play is,
So he takes him in a headlock, but then he gets out and he rolls and he throws you into the ropes. And I'm like, those are different moves. You can't just do that.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. It basically expects the player to, or the DM to know about 1,500 wrestling moves and kind of string them together in his head every time anything happens. So if you're like, I want to do a leg lock, he's like, okay, so you try to launch a Hurricane Rana. Unfortunately, you get stunned. At that point, one of you flips off the top rope, but a table falls on you, and then you do a leg lock, I guess.
Oh, that table's going to be put in submission.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. What is this?
What's
going on?
What's happening?
Here?
Obviously, we have no control over our own sound effects.
Someone's taking over the board.
This sounds like a heels music.
It does. It does.
Kane. It sounds very Undertaker, and whoever's music this is garbage.
Oh, shit! Hey! It's Jeff Tim McClure!
Who?
I said McClure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's normally only certain groups of people that get to see me in this much gladder, so
Oh, we're doing so good. Jim, you know, I'm so glad you could join us today, but I honestly have spent the past 3 days forgetting to ask you what your wrestler name is.
Oh.
Is this on? Yes. No.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're not amped.
Oh, we're not amped.
We're just,
okay.
We're projecting.
We're not professional. We're just mastering it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's
Yeah.
what we're saying in one shot.
I didn't bring a USB out. You know what? I'm not going to talk tech. It's fine. It's fine.
No, I wrestle under the name, and for those that listen to the One Shot Podcast Network, you may have heard me use this character name a time or two before, but I go under the name Aaron Cross.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. That's
yeah.
that's
There's actually some cool design tech into that as well. Is that insane to say? Right.
No. Yeah. It's fine. I mean, we have to get pretty tactical today because otherwise we're just talking about the OGL again.
Well, yes. Isn't that half the episode?
It's half of about 7 of our episodes so far.
I mean, in defense, that's half of role-playing games. So.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a brief period in the mid-2000s where suddenly the market expanded dramatically with trash.
Right.
And then and then tightened up again.
Sure. Okay, sure.
Some of it's all right.
Yeah, sure. I agree with most of
There's
that.
Diamonds in that rough here and there.
There are. This is true.
I'm trying to think of one, but, you know. So we are going through.
Yeah, right? I believe you that they're there. Yes.
I'm like, okay, what's licensed? Wheel of Time. Oh, my, it's boring as hell. Okay, hang on. I can do this. Aberrant. Superheroes don't make sense in
T20.
No. It's killing me. But
which
it doesn't
is a
matter.
Because wrestling is basically just superheroes.
It pretty much is, yeah.
You're just colorful people in tights running around, getting in fights, and some people are villains, and some people are heroes.
Yeah, it's a whole
You are
world.
Not wrong, but I don't know why I'm mad about that.
Because you're a heel?
Yes. Oh, that might be it. Yeah. That was probably the thing, yes.
It's a world where people are allowed to stop the proceedings and make long speeches, and no one just punches them.
Isn't that everyone's day-to-day life, or is that just me?
I don't know that I get in too many arguments where I do a long spiel and then punch someone. That's not really what I do.
Most days of the week, yes.
So we were just finishing up talking about how the classes work in this game. Because, again, there's basically 6 of them. They're basically tied to each one of the stats. The next thing that comes up in the book is species. Sort of. Like I said, the game uses every part of the OGL Buffalo, and that means you have to have that elf dwarf part.
They have
cleverly connected that to weight class instead. So in their game, you can be a cruiserweight, they need the lightweight guys, or I think he starts at featherweight, and then cruiserweight's the first one gets that can get a title.
And did you look at them? They're crazy.
Yes.
Right? Like, they're broken down by weight, which is... Actually, I think if you're going to do it, again, if you're going to eat every part of the buffalo, we got to find a way to get down the liver, and this is it. And one of the things that is fascinating to me was as I looked through this, and I didn't get a formal introduction on the podcast because I was late, but I'll still blame these two for it. But one of the interesting things is I actually have played this game like 6 years ago and got to get deep into the nitty-gritty of it. And this is one of the things that's broken because if you're not a super heavyweight, you're just playing this game wrong.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right.
because the super heavyweights, like everyone else gets like a plus one somewhere. Maybe they get a plus one and a negative two and a plus two or something like that. The super heavyweights get a total of plus five to their stats. And
yes.
Obviously there has to be some sort of downside to mitigate this.
There
of
is
course.
One.
There
yes.
is.
Yeah.
You take more damage on fall damage.
Mm-hmm.
You take one hit point more of damage on fall damage. And super heavyweight started around 140 hit points in this game,
yes.
just for scale.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue is, in order to take fall damage, someone needs to lift your super heavyweight up and then put them back
and
down.
Unfortunately, that the lift DC in this game, which of course is a thing because picking people up to throw them to the mat is a skill,
right.
is run by actual poundage and not by category,
yep.
which means if you're running a 540-pound man, then your lift DC is like 54.
Yes. Hard to hit that number on a D20.
Yeah, and it's actually a little higher because you also add some of your level into that. So if you play a super heavyweight, the two penalties are, one, you take a little extra fall damage, and two, you get one feat to choose from instead of two at the
That's
start
right.
of character creation. But who gives a shit? You can't be knocked down.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Which is your only real downside.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I mean, and again, it's just, it goes to those cruiserweight, heavyweight, featherweight, whatever. It's just a bunch of the standard WWE weight classes that, honestly, I bet a lot of you didn't even know there were, because that's not something they really advertise.
Or is a thing.
Yeah, no, it's... Oh, shoot, I forgot what I was going to say. Someone else take over.
No, it was fascinating. Actually, reading through those weight classes was fascinating to me, because I was like, that's right, yeah, that's right. WWE at the time had a cruiserweight division. Funny enough, they have one again now. And I was like, what is all of this other nonsense?
Yeah.
And speaking of nonsense, oh, they were, and this was fascinating to me, and this might be skipping ahead a little bit.
But, go ahead.
They specifically call out in the book, because again, this is a book written by horrible people on an OGL license, that women can only be in the lightest
yes.
weight category.
Yeah.
We're ignoring China, who wrestled at the time, as
right.
well as just everything that makes any sort of, God.
I mean,
horrible, horribleness.
Oh, yeah.
In
it says
general.
They made it for that. They're like, oh, and then there's the like cruiserweight. This is for ladies.
Uh-huh.
And here
don't
is the, pick this.
Here is the most awful part to add on top of that. When you go into the back of the book and look at all the wrestlers available, there's one female wrestler.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
They've only got like Lita in there or something. I forget if it's Lita
Trish
or Trish.
Stratus. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm confused how you have a division where in all the wrestling matches I'm aware of, you need at least two. Right?
Well, that's why in the book they're like, oh, and for like 30 years, the Fabulous Moolah held the ladies' championship belt because we didn't have anyone wrestling for it.
I love that they're
and
proud
we've decided
of that.
To emulate yeah. that here.
That's
yes.
their pride and joy. They're like, this belt's been held continuously by a single person for 30 years. And it's, yeah, because you didn't have a women's division for 30 years. But anyway, the thing I wanted to say is it doesn't really matter if you make a ultra heavyweight. You're not really overpowering yourself in the game, because this is a game where you're supposed to play a lot of people.
Yeah, sure. you're supposed to have a stable of wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. All of mine are 500-plus pounds. I'm telling you that right now.
I just got five big shows.
I'm starting my own team. It's called Oh Lord, They Coming.
All right, and coming to the ring, Big Chungus.
Yeah, you're supposed to play just about everybody because, and this is an interesting thing about the game, any individual adventure that you run, any night of playing, is supposed to be just a WWE show, like one single show. They recommend you start with a velocity, which I don't yeah. even know what that is.
Yeah, because you're level one and you suck
yeah,
and
you suck
nobody
and
knows you.
So it goes like, you should try a velocity or a Raw or a WrestleMania or... I don't know, a Super Slam. I'm making them up now.
SummerSlam.
Summer,
yeah. To a large degree, so did they.
Okay.
So that's fine.
Yeah, that's yeah. fine.
A Royal Ramble, mm-hmm. if you
the,
will.
Yeah. The Rudy Tootie Fresh and Fruity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Any one of those.
Yeah, and I think Rowdy Roddy Piper is undefeated in the Rudy Tootie Fresh and Fruity.
A Greenwich, Connecticut street fight.
He still holds that?
Which is a match that actually occurred.
Weirdly, it would go to The Rock, but he's in the Rudy Pooty one instead. Okay, so, hey, I know a few things about wrestlers. Just a few. Okay, so after the species or weight class, so to speak, we have to move on to the next thing, which is levels. Because, again, you pick up levels and things as you make your way through the game. Just like in any other OGL property, you can level from 1 to 20. But in this game, they use them as a direct and measurable measure of how famous you are.
Ah, the measurable measures.
Yeah. It's not an immeasurable measure.
Yes, this is a measurable measure.
It's a direct measure of how famous you are in the game. So, for example, if you're playing a level one character, you can't go on like the big WrestleMania events.
Yeah, you're not in any of the pay-per-view. Yeah. No one knows who you are. You're just starting out.
Yeah,
you have to get to like level five before you're even on like Raw.
Uh-huh. And then that makes it really fun because when you flip through to the back of the book, which again just has the monster manual comprised of wrestlers that existed at that time, a lot of them are like level six or seven,
yeah,
like topping out. So they only have like two superstars.
Yeah, and of course The Rock is level like 18.
Yeah.
But
and then the other one that's up in the really high levels, I think, is The Undertaker, probably just because he was willing to keep jobbing around for so long. But
well, yeah, because it has retirement rules.
It does.
In it that affect your level.
Yeah, if you want. You can actually lose levels of experience by retiring. They use Jerry the King Lawler as a regular example of that. He has a lot of he starts out with a lot of levels in, I think, strong and tough wrestler, and then he switches, of course, to being a spokesperson for a number of years. So he stays active in the WWE, which means you can still play as him according to this game's rule structure. But for each year that he's a ring announcer instead of a wrestler, he loses a level of wrestling.
And you lose levels until the only thing you have left is manager. You don't lose levels of manager for not wrestling.
Yes. And manager can fight. They get the basic wrestling access just like anyone else, which means that Jerry the King still can go out and do a suplex or something.
Oh, yeah, you still have a base attack bonus.
Yeah.
If you're a level 20 manager, you can go out and just wreck fools and never worry about it. You can be a 70-year-old retired manager and just Paul Bearer gets out there and wrecks. It's amazing.
It's just sad when it happens because, you know, just this year.
I love all of the sort of, again, this, I don't want to specifically put it on the OGL content, but it shows up so often. When you see they have, like, we have a good idea, and we just are terrible at actually implementing it because this level system, it's like, oh, as you do more matches and as you get better, you would move up the card towards the main event, and this all makes perfect logical sense until we start thinking about it as, oh, does WrestleMania only have the top-tier wrestlers and no one else is allowed on the show, or do we have, like, an undercard and a progression of matches in an event? No, we don't believe in that? No, it's just The Rock and Triple H for 6 hours at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
I mean, technically, if you're
I'm just imagining like Randy Orton trying to sneak out there, like, you get back there,
get out of here, you have to be
and
at least
the stunner with you.
You have to be at least this high level to wrestle. But yeah, you're encouraged to play a variety of classes because ultimately, most of this game boils down to you take two people, you put them in a ring. You have them both roll a d20, and whoever rolls higher gets to decide what happens, and then the DM has to tell you all the things that happen, and then you do that again until someone runs out of hit points.
Except yes. You don't just have hit points.
Yeah, you have three hit health tracks in this game.
Well, we've got to add something to it. Come on now.
So equivalent to your constitution is your fatigue score. So you just have that, and it can be knocked down and kind of you're too tired to do things in the ring. And then double your constitution is your endurance score, which is actually more of a getting beat up measure. Fatigue is more of a doing moves thing.
I don't know. All right, we're talking about the core resolution, how this game works.
Yeah, the absolute core resolution is pretty much right down to OGL 101.
Sure, until you start looking at all of the steps that are involved. Did
yeah.
you see that chart?
Yeah.
I was literally, because I played this game 6 years ago, I was like, all right, how do I do like a turn? I was like, I should remember how to do this. Again, roll d20. It's like 16 steps.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating. They try and trick you in the book, too, by going, it's four steps. Here's step one, which has steps A, B, C, and D. And here's step two. And I'm counting them up. And I'm like, you liars.
Yeah.
This book has been nothing but lying to me since.
It's like
especially because in the beginning of the book, they're like, oh, this might look complicated, but don't worry. It's super easy.
Oh, yeah. They're like, this isn't like your normal role-playing games that are all about numbers and calculations and graph paper and beep, boop,
nerd
I am a robot.
This is wrestling.
They actually have a TM for this. They say, what is Smash Mouth Wrestling?
Oh, it's when you eat the eggs.
Yeah.
Smash Mouth, eat the eggs.
What is Smash Mouth? It's a rough and tumble, hard, fast game that actually takes forever.
It's coming and it don't stop coming.
Once you take that hit, brother, you might as well be walking on the sun. It's such a complex game for what you'd like to do, which is basically I want to describe cool wrestling moves at someone who describes cool wrestling moves back at me.
that sounds fun. Yeah, I wish I could do that in like
oh, that's 100% playground shit. You're just like, I had to throw you into a turnbuckle. No, because I got you in a fake figure four leg lock.
Instead, what this thing does is, as described, both sides essentially roll a d20. They add a laundry list of modifiers to this thing. And then whoever wins gets the reward of going through a 16-step process, while the other person...
gets heat. The other person.
If they take enough damage.
They get heat.
From my player experience, you literally sit there
while
the other player gets 16 steps of, I'm doing air quotes, fun.
I mean, yeah. Tactically, it's you don't have to do anything and they have to do a math problem.
Yes.
But.
And then once you're done that, do it again.
Do it again. Yeah. And also you have 140 hit points to push through and the attacks do like a D6.
No, I'm 500 pounds, so I have 160, so bring it on. Like
Some of them do as much as like 2D6.
Oh, yeah. If you take 10 or more damage, you get a heat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And heat is important because that's one more modifier that you have to keep track of.
You can spend heat to activate certain moves you wouldn't be able to do without it.
Yeah, so, like if you want to do a finisher, you have to have heat.
Yeah, and if you want to, say, for example, slip something past the refs, because this game has refs that you have to keep track of, or if you're not doing anything, like if there's four of you playing that night and you've just been watching two of your friends slap meat for an hour, you can.
Boy, have I.
Speaking of what I do with the other groups of friends with the leather.
Who hasn't been there? But if that's what, you can just take over and play the ref.
Right. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, the skill system comes in with things like deceive and bluff to make the ref look at you so that your partner can throw a metal chair in so they can use that to hit someone.
Speaking of the skill system, this game has the standard OGL D20 skill system. It starts out with the list of the attributes and which skills are associated with each one. And they've done a fairly good job of boiling out all the stuff that isn't relevant to wrestlers. When I was looking through its strength, for example, it just had athletics, jump, and swim. Which I was like,
oh yeah.
I was like, I haven't seen that much swimming in wrestling.
Everyone knows the shark match.
Yeah, maybe there's like a moat match or something. I mean, that'd be pretty neat. But it turns out that there isn't swim. It's just a typo. They just put it in there, but not. They didn't give it a category.
Are you saying they
copy and paste it without anyone noticing it in OGL? Crazy.
It took 14 years.
Almost every single example that they have in this book, you know, it goes like, here's person's name, bolded, and they say such and such. You look through every single sequence of those, at some point you'll be like, wait, what's going on in the conversation? Oh, because they messed up their own formatting and didn't bold it and just put it in someone else's conversation.
Yeah. Yes.
Just, we did it once and we're done.
I'm pretty sure the editor didn't do anything in this book but go through and put in trademark symbols.
Especially when someone had two different names and they're like, oh, we also have to trademark the Latino Heat.
Oh my God, it is so hard to read the examples of play because they are dedicated to using every possible name for every wrestler.
Do they only want wrestlers reading this book? Because, yeah, in that example you were talking about with Latina Heat, like suddenly it's talking about, oh, and here is this one player, we're going to call him George, and he's playing Eddie Guerrero. And then in the first example it goes, okay, when Latino Heat, who is one of Eddie Guerrero's names, if you did not know that,
you would have
no clue what in the world was going on in the story.
Okay, Guerrero, Latino Heat, what do you want to do? I don't know, where did he come from?
The description of play for the Eddie Guerrero character interchangeably uses all three of those names the whole time.
Yep,
so it'll be like, George decides that the Latino Heat will take Eddie Guerrero through a choke slam. And you're like, stop that. Have you never read an example before?
No, that's nerd shit. This is wrestling.
This is Smash Mouth.
I'm also on the trademarks confused why every time they like list a bunch of wrestlers, like providing them with his examples, like half of them are trademarked and the others aren't.
So I noticed that they stop trademarking if they've already trademarked earlier in the book.
Is that what it is?
So if they've already mentioned the Latino Heat and they say it again later, they won't trademark it.
That said, some of the proper names get trademarked all the way through.
Yeah.
For example, Hollywood Hulk Hogan gets a couple of mentions at the beginning and the end, and he does get trademarks every friggin' time. They don't fuck around with him.
Is that how laws work?
That's how the law works.
Okay. Maybe that's why this book died and didn't get any other like books or anything.
It didn't trademark well enough, and now I am the Latino Heat.
Well, did you read...
You heard it here first. It's the fifth persona of Mick Foley, the Latino Heat.
Baba Foley's baby boy, the Latino Heat.
I do have a theory on why there were no further supplements done on this book. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's not what you think.
Oh, I just figured it's because it sold like ass and it was 2005 and there were a million other things in the game store already.
Nope, don't buy it.
Okay.
Here's what I think. Did you look at the very last page of the book?
Yeah, right when they hide the OGL license?
No, the page after that.
Oh, no.
It says, now that you've played, which is very presumptuous.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now that you've played the RPG, play the CCG.
Oh, no, it's an ad for a CCG?
Yes, oh. And I need to find this game desperately.
Oh, right after this, we're going to the vendor hall.
Yeah,
we're going to find it. That's what's happening.
All right. So, yeah, that's the skill system. It's very integral to gameplay because a lot of things you're doing in the ring. No, because,
shut up, nerd.
You literally, you can't lift, you have to pin people, and pinning is a skill check. And
yeah, no, you're dumb.
All right, so you.
Oh, shit.
What's going on?
You're being mean to my boy. I don't know.
What is happening right
now?
Oh, my
God! Oh, my God!
Truly, that outfit leaves nothing to the imagination. Truly a surprise to all of us.
Skills are important to the OGL.
I just need a little backup. I was feeling hurt,
skills
hounded by the two of you.
Now it's a real tag team match. Oh, yeah.
This game doesn't work without the skill system because eventually the ref's going to catch you on an illegal maneuver, of which half of the moves in the game are. Or you're going to try and pin someone, which is a skill, or even just putting them in a position where you can pin them is a skill.
Yeah, and that ref that I'm sure people are paying attention to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure the ref came up a lot the time you played, Jim.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They actually mention a couple of famous WWE refs in here.
Did they really?
Yeah, there's a couple of names. I don't remember them because they're the refs.
Were they trademarked?
Yes.
Yeah.
100% yes. Trademarked refs.
Trademarked refs. Michael Buffer doesn't get a mention, but yeah.
Do you know that when W... All right, mild history. Oh,
please, go ahead.
Do you know that because... And he doesn't get mentioned because he was on WCW, although WWE did contract him. But he's the guy who's, let's get ready to rumble. I can't do that, but...
Let's get ready to rumble!
There it was.
John can do it. Yeah.
By all means.
Go ahead and applaud him. The lawsuit's coming.
Do you know how much... Yeah, you need to say TM at the end of that.
TM.
Thank you.
Latino Heat.
Latino Heat. Do you know how much he got paid every WCW he came out? $250,000.
By the way...
To come out and do it only for the main event. He was on screen for 20 seconds every pay-per-view and got paid $250,000.
By the way, I'm qualified for that.
Because we're professional, let's just real quickly here. This is James.
Oh, James D'Amato's here.
Hi, James D'Amato.
Hey, for the people who are listening and aren't here, James D'Amato's on stage.
Published author and president of the One Shot Network.
Two-time published author.
TV's James D'Amato. Thank you.
TV's two-time published author, James D'Amato.
He's not a TM yet. Yeah. James D'Amato TM. I've got it.
He got it.
Also,
so we got to have a TM match now.
We will have a trademark match, sir.
It's a TM ladder match. Up at the top is a TM, and who can get it first?
Between the Latino Heat and the undisputed Latino Heat. okay, after the skill system, we have to go through the feats. There's just a few new ones. They list some of the old ones you can take from Dungeons & Dragons.
Can we stop for a moment
on
the skill system?
Oh, okay. Of course.
Because you touched on, I think, only the briefest of just horrible inconsistencies that it have in what it's decided to stat out and what it uses for examples. For instance, there's a climb skill.
Yes.
In a normal tabletop RPG, I can understand that. And you know what? Climbing does happen every now and
in
then.
Wrestling. You got to get up on that top rope.
What are the things? Oh, nope, doesn't apply to top rope.
You got to
ladder.
No. But it's ladder matches and cage matches.
Ladder matches and cage matches.
Yeah.
Did you look at the example chart? Neither of those two things are listed at all in the examples of things you would climb.
It's because ladders are like the opposite of requiring a climb check. That's what you get, so you don't need to make a climb check is a ladder.
But it's all like uneven surfaces with handholds, but not footholds.
Oh, my God, the cut and paste.
Right,
Yeah, like if you're not climbing a cage.
If you're climbing the outside of a medieval keep.
You got the rules. When Big Show is climbing outside of the wonderful castle, yes, we know.
Well, he's dressed up like Shrek, and they're having a Shrek match.
Oh,
God, I want that so bad right now.
Right?
I didn't realize it, but I want a Shrek match.
Right?
Welcome the Latino Heat Shrek.
I will tell you that it, within the example list of skills and things you can do, there is the, I don't even remember what they call the social thing, but the you know, you're convincing people of stuff.
Oh, there's a few
deceive,
of them.
There's deceive, there's probably perform. Yeah, what,
diplomacy and bluff.
But you have different form you can perform. You can do perform promo or...
This was definitely in one of the bluffs, but like the top, which was if you roll a the difficulty of 50 plus, again, on our D20 system.
Oh, right, I remember this. Yeah.
It was, well, technically the top one was convincing Vince McMahon to like shut
to
down.
To step down as the head
as the commish.
Right, which is interesting, but the 45 difficulty made me want to play this game because what that one said was that you impersonate Vince McMahon and you are believable to close personal friends and even the board of directors.
How has that not happened
the
yet?
The game I want to play now is impersonating Vince McMahon to the board of directors of WWE.
Just give me one shot of Rey Mysterio Jr. in a business suit with a mask still. I mean, yes, I am Vince McMahon.
And everyone's like, yeah, clearly, it's Vince.
It's
like,
me, Vince.
Vince, why do you have a mask on? Oh, I like it. It was me, Austin. It was me all along.
This spins off to me a storyline where there are just two Vince McMahons. Where Vince is like, oh, yeah, that's me. That has to be me. I've been convinced.
Yeah. The Vince is McMahon. Yeah.
Hello, sir. I believe you have a package for me. My name is Vince McMahon.
Two-time published James D'Amato and undisputed Latino Heat, if I remembered your whole title, sir. We are writing that story and pitching it to WWE tomorrow. Because, damn it, we need two Vince McMahons.
One of the Vince McMahons can only tell the truth.
Wow, that's new.
Yeah, that's the new one. We've never met him.
I'm done sidetracking.
No, okay. It's fine. It's fine.
So we can get to feet.
Feet.
Yeah, you can get to feet.
They're not that interesting.
So Quentin Tarantino.
Welcome to Star Trek, everybody.
Yeah.
Did you see that new movie?
Oh, that thing with it.
It's still got just ridiculous feet stuff.
I'm always
so into it.
Him and Rodriguez both. I think that's why they're friends.
Yeah. Oh, they must have met at one of the meetings.
It's not like he's hiding it or ashamed of it or anything. Did you see it? The thing I liked about Quentin Tarantino the last couple of days, and there's a lot to hate, because people are like, hey, how come your lead woman performer doesn't say anything? And he was like, I reject that question. But anyway, the thing I liked was when Simon Pegg was like, oh, I don't think it's just going to be Pulp Fiction in space. That would be stupid, right? And he goes, fuck you, it's Pulp Fiction in space. Yes, it is.
That's definitely what I'm doing.
For that new Star Trek thing that he's working on, which I know. That's like the opposite of what anyone would. But sure, whatever. It's fine. Anyway,
the hope of a utopian future like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. But we got to move on to talk about his favorite thing in the world, and that is feats.
Yes, feats. And
from feats.
Which is
OGL.
Which is almost disappointing, because the feats in this game, aside from having really good wrestling names, are mostly just your standard nickel and dime plus one and plus two type things.
You know, I got the lifter feat. I'm better at lift checks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so many of them are just like, oh, and now you can take a couple of powers from the feat tree of the class tree of another one of the classes in the game.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because multiclassing is the thing.
There is no single classed character of when they do all of the wrestlers, unless you're like level 6 or below.
Yeah.
Because everyone who gets to like level 8 has at least one or two levels in something else.
Yes. Yeah. And I think there's a couple of managers back there. I think they have the stats for Taz.
Yeah.
Which amazing that that's the guy that gets the nod. This book is so 2005. They're like. Watch for listen to the amazing sounds of Jerry the King Lawler and Taz.
Which I would prefer Taz's dad.
How about some ice cold OJ, son? That
OJ's not just for breakfast anymore.
That's
a joke for the two people that remember Tasmania. That was a bad cartoon. Anyway, continue.
It was fascinating to me that one of the feats was Savant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how to, and when you read what it does, it makes zero sense, but that, you know, that's the whole book. I'm confused, and do I want that? Do I want a Savant wrestler?
Maybe,
I need one of you all
maybe?
To answer.
I mean.
No, maybe is what I walked in with.
Yes.
I need a yes or no.
Yes, sure, yes. You need. Okay, there you go. I like the feats that let you use weapons.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a few of those. I mean, they are fair. They're like, oh, it's ladders and chairs and
well,
stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, but you need to have the weapon proficiency in chair
yeah.
in order to use
yeah,
a chair
this game's
in a match. Which
yeah.
is true.
Yes. That's why you never see
your
weapon.
Chair is not like a standard simple
no.
weapon.
No. You need to have proficiency in chair. And
wait, what do they include in simple weapons? Bow stabs and daggers?
No, yes. there is a yes. martial arts. No, there is a catch-all martial arts strikes feat. So that's
okay.
covered in there. Yes.
Okay.
And of course, if you're one of the Dudleys, you need proficiency with the table that you will bring out.
Right.
Otherwise, I guess you
table.
Can't figure out how to unfold the legs.
Well, they, you come out with an IKEA table.
He's just sitting there. Wait, I'll get this. Where's my screws?
The picture says I need a different thing. This isn't the right thing.
Anybody put together a Bjorn jar before? I don't.
By God, I think he needs an Allen wrench.
Now, that is a tie-in that I think the WWE needs to explore.
Ooh, yeah.
I want to see IKEA sponsor a match.
That would be great if they just kept bringing out, like, Pwongs and Bjorts yeah. and what have you. Yeah,
he's got a Billy.
I can't imagine throwing someone through an Ektorp is legal. Oh, he's broken in half, but not that sturdy IKEA furniture. So anyway, once you make your way past feats, the next thing in the book is, this is my favorite one.
Oh, yeah.
Magic items?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. You know magic? Like
you
in
know,
wrestling?
Your standard magical items in wrestling.
Okay, so, I mean, it would be really funny if the next thing I said was that it had, like, +3 swords and stuff in it. But magic items do, like I said, they use every single part of the OGL Buffalo, and that means they needed the magic items so they could have the treadmill work, and the thing they use for magic items, Jim, lift one up for me, would you? There, go on. Do it. That's a magic item.
There's...
And this belt is actually in there, too, which made me happy.
Yeah, that's... I almost bought one, but they didn't have good ones at the Walmart I was at.
Oh, yeah. The Walmarts aren't good. This was half
that's,
a life
savings.
Oh, that's Etsy.
That's yeah. That's classic compared to the plastic things.
This is WWE official. They will repair it for life, which actually just sent it back to Lost Jewels. I'm very rough on my title belt.
So there are like 8 of these things in the book. There's a list of the different belts that you can earn. And if you have them, they actually give you the equivalent bonuses that the magic items would have given you. They give you things like, oh, a +2 to generate heat, and a +1 to locks that occur above the shoulder, and that
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that super important D&D thing, heat.
Heat. Some of them give you damage bonuses, and this is the part
the higher-end ones actually give you bonuses to strength, mm-hmm. which would be great if everyone used strength, but if I'm not a strong wrestler and I'm an agile wrestler, I don't care.
So there's a bunch of those. Most of them you can't earn because a lot of them are, you know, if you're ultra heavyweight, you're not going to go get the cruiserweight belt. I mean, I guess you could just take it from them. I don't know.
I mean, what are they going to do, nerd? Give me the belt.
They'll have to make a jump check, and they don't have the stats for that.
All right, how come that hasn't happened to the WWE yet? Where's Mark Henry with the cruiserweight belt tied around his arm?
Listen, we'll put it in the pitch the day after of the two McMahons because
the two
I actually,
McMahons have to start new matches, and they're like, all right, Big Show, you're fighting for the cruiserweight.
How great would that be? It's okay, so we get Big Show who comes out and is like, I'm challenging for the cruiserweight. And they're like, really? And then he just wallops them, right? And then for the next month, they're just trying to get him on a scale, and he just keeps doing things to avoid having to get on the scale.
They distract the ref who's weighing him, and he just steps off. And he puts one leg, and he's like, see?
You get one of the modern divas actually calling Vince McMahon to ask him why, and it's Vince McMahon with a huge mustache. Absolutely, that makes perfect sense. Carry on.
I'm definitely Vince McMahon.
No further questions.
He's got the picture of him standing on his own bathroom scale that he brought in for evidence, and it says he weighs like 123 pounds.
It's all scribbled out with 120 written over.
I've got it notarized. It's fine.
It just says cruiserweight on here. You didn't even put a number.
I go see Dr. Cruiserweight, and he gave me a note.
Okay, so one of the things that we needed to talk about in addition to the magic items was the number of times that you're allowed to bring your wrestler in during an event.
Right.
Every character has a number of plays that they're allowed during each. At this point, we're basically going into the technical details of how to run a show, how to play the game for a long period of time or for a full night. One of the things you need to know is that not every wrestler can be in every match. So you have to roll to see if you're allowed to be in individual matches.
Right.
That's it's a good reason to have skills.
Oh, wait, what's that? Something exciting might happen? No.
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 No. No. Oh, my God, is that Stone Cold's music?
No.
It isn't. No. It's just Stone Cold's music.
Someone was humming it. I thought I heard it.
There's a guy behind me just humming Stone Cold's music. Oh, my God, it's Stone Cold.
Tonight's match is between Jonathan Van Damme and...
Oh, wait, I forgot my +3 modifier. Stone Cold is here. He is here, yeah.
Never mind. Never have I seen a wrestler so uncertain.
So
I have a theory on why they put this in here, actually. Okay. Right. I have a lot of theories about this game.
Yeah, sure.
So many theories.
I have a lot of theories. And my theory about this comes from my own play experience with it, which was when I was sitting for the third time in a row watching the person I was supposedly playing this game with go through the 14 steps of resolution, I was like, I'm going to have one of the members of my stable run in so I can play the game.
Yeah.
And I think what would happen without this mechanic is that just everyone would have all of their wrestlers run in every time so they could do something.
Yep.
The problem with the implementation is because of how the mechanic works, when I wanted to have my wrestler run in, I rolled and it was like, nope, you're still not allowed to play the game.
And even if you do that, like if you have a stable of wrestlers, like say for example, you had built the Brand New Day in this game,
right,
in this engine, and you have one of them in the ring wrestling, and you want to have another one run in from offstage, smack a guy in the back of the head, and run away again. That's one of his appearances.
Yep.
Oh, look, it's 2/3 of New Day.
See, one of them ran in earlier, and he only had one use today.
Yeah, appearances are a daily power. So if you show up to a match at all, even just to like throw a chair
you don't
get to wrestle anymore.
Are you talking? You're having the conversation that we needed to be having this whole time, which is how do we port this to 4E?
Yes. So easily. So easily.
Because if there is one system that will do professional wrestling better than D20,
oh, it's
4E.
It's 4E, baby.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, granted, it already kind of has a professional wrestler in it. The grappler fighter is fucking fantastic. But I guess you'd have to all play that guy. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's going to take us a lot of work. We'll get it done.
All right, that's day 4 after the convention.
Yeah. We got to pitch WWE unto Vince McMahon.
The tale of two Vince McMahons, we'll call it.
Yep. The Big Show Cruiserweight.
Big Show Cruiserweight run.
And then, by the way, can we have your license to do 4E?
Also, oh,
meeting with Wizards of the Coast and WWE, that would be meeting of the minds.
I want to suggest a new policy to you, Mr. McMahon. Anytime a wrestler comes out, let's roll a D20 to see if they do.
See, now I'm just imagining having Mike Merles and Vince McMahon in the same room, and I'm like, oh, man, can I just throw a grenade in there? Like,
but what if it's the wrong Vince McMahon?
Oh!
Oh!
That's where the adventure comes from.
So there are rules for everything that you can possibly do in a wrestling match in this game. There are rules, and probably that sounds like I'm bragging about how good the game is. It's tedious and it's irritating that so many of these things require a lot of complex rules. But there are rules for tag teams. There are rules for ladder climbing. There are rules for when you hear the bell. There are rules for convincing the ref to leave you alone for a second. Yep.
Which is vitally important if you want to do anything.
There's also a move builder in the back of the book, which I love.
It's actually really cool.
Yeah, it's actually really neat. You can put together a custom move. You can build your own custom finishers and so on. You can build in things like, when I use this, I might fall down. Or when I use this, I might knock myself unconscious.
Yep.
Yeah, if your move is too complex, then you're like, all right, well, I'm trying to jump off the top rope. And when I do that, flip over and throw a guy out of the ring, and I might kill myself doing this, so it's fine. But that's my finisher that I do every time.
So that stuff just goes on for most of the back of the book, and then we finally come to the list of wrestlers.
Yes.
We get a couple of pictures of divas, because I think that's what the divas were in 2005.
Right.
Stats for Trish Stratus, stats for a bunch of people, no stats for any historic wrestlers whatsoever.
None.
It is exactly a snapshot of what 2005 looked like.
The other interesting thing to me about that whole list back there is I did, like when I was reading it to refresh myself to do this wonderful panel, I was sitting there going like, I wonder who they had in the book. So I was like, oh, I wonder if Batista's in the book. And all of a sudden I'm flipping through, I'm like, This is in no order.
No.
This is not alphabetical. This is nothing. Yeah, it's literally random. If you want to know if your favorite wrestler's in the book, flip through the entire 20 pages of wrestlers and find out for yourself.
That's a Vince call right there.
And unless
we're going to put him in alphabetical order. No, I want him to see all my boys. My beautiful baby boys.
Well, I'm sure they're arranged by like his favorite to least favorite or something.
That is true, because the first wrestler list is The Rock and the second one is Triple H.
Yeah.
Which made me second happy.
Yeah, but I mean, if your favorite wrestler didn't exist in specifically 2005, they're not in here. My guess is that they were hoping to eventually release a supplemental book.
Oh, get a Legends of Wrestling.
A Legends of Wrestling book, yeah. This book tanked. And the company that...
I can't see why.
I know. And the company that produced
it... They got that CCG money, man. That's what it was.
I hope that also did not tank and is still doing very well.
CCG from early 2000s? Of course it's doing well.
I'm sure if you go down to your friendly local game store, they have tournaments every Friday night.
Yeah,
know your role, the CCG.
The company that made this went under very, very quickly. So one of the things we had a difficulty with when trying to assemble a panel to talk about it.
Wow.
Nice.
Good.
One of the things we had a difficult time doing is finding any PDFs. There are no PDFs of this on the internet. Someone in around 2006 converted the entire book into a web page. Wow. Which got shut down relatively quickly. You can find these weird little bits of evidence of it. Where it was like, oh yeah, it's a hyperlinked web ring of information about this book. If you click on this page, it'll take you to the first half of the feats and also some pictures of Sailor Moon I liked.
I did find that the only thing I could find online is they did have the list of wrestlers that are in the back with all their stats, but when you click on them, it takes you to a page that is just like, oh, here is Triple H, strength, X, speed, X, and it's all of them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we just went through all the trouble to input it, but not like put the number that mattered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Write out strength, but I'm not putting down eight.
So at this point, what I'd like to do is go across the table and ask everyone what their favorite thing about WWE Know Your Role is. If I could.
Sure, I guess I'm going to take the easy answer then. I actually really like the create a move. I think it's really cool. We kind of glossed over it a little bit, but essentially how it works is it's like, okay, I want to do a move, and I want to add, I have a chart, which is what it is, but I have a chart where I can add modifiers to it. Like, this move will hit someone on the ground. That makes it one harder to roll because that's a more advantageous position. This does extra damage. That makes it one harder to roll. If I fail, I knock myself down. That makes it +2 easier to roll because there's a penalty if I fail. And you literally could just add as much or as little as you want to make your own move, which is actually pretty cool and intuitive.
Yeah, it's super cool. And you have to have a finisher that you use for finishing moves, too.
Exactly.
So you use that to build it.
Yep. So that was my favorite part of the game.
Yeah. No, I thought that was pretty fascinating. John?
My favorite part of the game is that The Rock is in it. And done.
2005 was a good year for The Rock in wrestling.
Every year is a good year for The Rock.
Not in wrestling, but every year is a good year for The Rock.
I'll tell you what. I'll go last.
For me, I mean, it's just that it's OGL, which means that all of these stats are there for me to take into D&D 3.5 if I want.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You can totally import a wrestler directly in.
Or I could just take a wizard and put him in wrestling. I think the thing that makes me maddest is that there are no spells.
Okay, my favorite thing about this game is the encouragement it gives you to play a variety of different characters all at once. There's a part in the book where it's like, hey, give XP to people if they pretend to be Taz for a while and call the ring, or if they take over the ref and hey, oh, I'm going to get you for that one, buddy, that kind of, and play an ineffectual, bumbling ref. And they're like, if you literally can't think of anything to play, just be an audience member and be like in the audience being like Stone Cold or whatever you got to do. And you get XP for that kind of thing, and it's strongly encouraged to keep everybody at the table active all the time. And I thought that was very smart for a game that is ultimately normally
designed not to have everyone active all the time.
Exactly. So there you go. I thought that was smart. I don't know how it works in practice because only one of us played this, but Jim,
it doesn't.
You're being very liberal with the word "played." There,
we didn't do this part.
Well, you can't play the whole game.
No
human mind is capable of keeping track of all of the different stuff you have to play this game.
No, Vince plays this every day.
Every morning he wakes up and open hand slaps a copy of WWE 2005.
When he negotiates new contracts, He does it over one of these games.
He just gets, oh, well, what's your level in manager?
Pull up a D20. All right, kids, show me your moves.
You know, we didn't talk about that. There is 2.5 pages talking about contracts in this
book.
Yeah,
there's so much. Contracts, difficulties for photo shoots versus difficulties for successfully doing movies.
Yuck.
Oh, yeah, there's downtime rules.
There's a whole bunch of rules for the downtime system. If your character has a day off, and you do it at the beginning of each session. You're like, all right, before we do tonight's session, I've had some downtime, so I think I start in The Mummy 2. Can I roll? What's the DC for my weird CGI face briefly appearing in The Mummy 2?
Let's see. You were in a movie, but you weren't the lead. That's a bit part. That's DC 30 for being in a movie. Also, you're out for 4 months.
Hey, folks, that's the game. That's what we need to port to 4E right there. The downtime shit.
The downtime. Okay, yeah.
All right, well, let's see. I rolled a 2, so I guess I'm in the movie, but I kind of look like a pink Gumby stuck to a scorpion.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Or, of course, the however many pages they dedicated to fining as well.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You can get fines. And then I love any time it says, okay, you're going to roll 66 times $100, and then that's going to be your fine for it. And then how quickly you pay it off, you have to randomly roll each episode, and you can't show that character can't show back up until they paid off their fine.
Yeah, that's actually something I didn't see in the magic items section. Part of the equipment treadmill was they had starting gold per level.
Yep.
Is there starting gold per level? Do you buy belts?
No, there's not even anything you can do with cash.
Fine. There's money so this per is match 5E that rules. You make.
Yeah.
Levels.
Okay. Yes. By the way, speaking of the downtime jobs, I noted that the hardest thing in the thing was to be in a movie.
Right.
The easiest thing was specifically a Playboy or other adult photo shoot.
Fuck yeah! Are you kidding?
I don't know.
I mean, these days, I think it's
I have to assume that's due entirely to a lack of research, because I have a few friends who've done that kind of thing, and it's a pain in the ass.
I
just love you. I'm gonna play Triple H, and he's just gonna do photo shoots on the side all the time.
Triple H, you got fined. Get the dick out.
Let's be depressingly realistic. It's in case you wanted to play a diva.
I know it's for divas, but come on.
Wait,
I've built man meat, the human tower of meat.
Oh, just Triple H. You built Vin Diesel? Triple H just crying his way through a porno he doesn't want to film.
I'm the king.
I mean, that's the reason he cried his way through every movie that he tried to do. So that's just
listen. I'm just saying, if it, at the end of the Triple H porno, if he hits his partner with a sledgehammer, I am buying that in a heartbeat.
Oh, he hits him with a sledgehammer. I mean, Yeah.
There's no partner.
They're really injured.
There's no partner. He's just in a folding chair in the center of a white room.
It's just him and Vince.
And Vince is just standing in full suit telling him what to do. Yeah. Masturbate harder. Okay, softer now. Just doing
boy.
The faces from that.
Okay,
gym.
This panel's gotten too blue. We're gonna dig our way out of this mess.
So well, speaking
the
of...
thing I need to say is what's your least favorite thing?
Oh, okay. Right.
I mean that now.
I'm going to pick one that's probably actually not my least favorite, but I'll leave some of the other low-hanging fruit for the rest of you, because it's something I don't think anyone else would say. One of the fascinating things to me is this. I shouldn't say fascinating. At the start of every set, every like section of the book, every little section, there is some sort of quoted text in there.
Love those.
Okay? They almost never, except the very first one, tell you what character is saying these. They're quoted, but not being attributed to anyone, and you are just supposed to guess based on the words that are said. I actively watched wrestling through this entire period. I could figure out about half of them.
I'm guessing the other half were just not real quotes. It turns out if you put quotation marks around something and don't attribute to anyone, it's okay. You're allowed to do that.
I mean, someone wrote these words.
Yeah.
Came up with that.
It's going through. It's like, okay, that's obviously JR. All right, they said play a playa, so that's obviously Teddy Long. That was his thing. Who said this? I know? Should I care? Does it matter?
By the way, I assume the actual book is in one of your guys' hotel rooms right now.
We'll go with yes.
So the cover is one of the things that I feel like should be on the docket for the worst, because I honestly didn't know who either of the dudes on the cover were.
I was kind of expecting... Kurt Angle's an American hero.
Yeah, well, Kurt Angle. I should have known Kurt Angle, but he is really flexing. I mean, he's got...
It's looks a like, bad angle.
He looks like a bleeding thumb.
Well, in defense, Kurt Angle's always looked like a thumb.
Yeah.
That's one of his defining
characteristics. But the dude who gets front and center, sure, he's being put into a leg lock and he's not in a happy mood, but the dude at the very front and center of this book, Hardcore Holly.
Hardcore Holly, yep.
Most you know, well, they looked at him, that guy's going to move books, for sure.
Yeah.
Most well known for Brock Lesnar dropping him on his neck.
That's it.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. I wonder if that was like the one thing that they were allowed to get. Like, well, obviously we're going to put The Rock on the cover because he's currently... No.
No. That's going to cost way more than this book.
We checked with The Rock and his eyebrow went down slightly.
That's how you know he's displeased. Not when it goes up, when it comes down.
I was also fascinated that they reused the cover image inside the book as just like a little corner image somewhere.
Yeah. Which, we're the WWE. We don't have enough money for stills.
Right.
There's no...
Yeah. The entire book is just stills.
The network didn't exist yet, so they weren't like screen capping stuff.
I was kind of hoping for some like great art of like the Big Show or something, but it's just pictures all the way
just
across.
Just all the way.
Yeah.
So as we're continuing with worst things, I mean, obviously the blatant sexism in the book is going to be the worst thing, so I feel like I can't claim that because everyone owns how bad that is.
Every once in a while on the show, we will determine that something is so bad that no one needs to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will say, I think boring feats, one of the things that I liked about 3.5, especially because there were so many fucking books that came out for it, feats eventually became one of the most interesting things you could do with your character. And the fact that, like, they don't have any really fun, weird feats bums me out. Because, like, the first core book in pretty much any, like, D20 property always has a long list of boring feats. Except, weirdly, like, 5th edition.
Yeah, no. 5th edition has tried something different, to be fair. I mean, not that we have to go into a huge rant about
but
they've tried to downplay the feat to the point where it's, like, a super optional choice.
But the feats that they did include are good.
Yeah, they're big and interesting.
The feats that they include here are just,
it's an interesting way to go.
Give me my spring attack.
I mean, it says at the beginning of the feat section that here's a list of D&D feats you can use.
Yeah. Which... Man, I'll just use all my other weird D&D feats.
Yeah. It's weird that White Lotus Riposte made it in there. But... John, worst thing? Do you want me to go? Would that help? Can I help?
Oh.
Yeah.
No, probably the worst thing for me was the actual classes not being at all different.
No, yeah.
Because all of them are the exact same, like, block. They just copy and pasted the base attack bonus, the what you get every level, and then they just pick from a different list for each thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen, like, oh, the strong wrestler gets these sort of things, and he gets, you know, lift benefits because he's strong, or the rough wrestler gets the ability to, like, at these levels, get more hit points, or he gets this feed, or whatever.
The high flyer gets a dig speed. I
would love the high flyer to have a dig speed. Are you kidding me?
I know.
He's got Burrow 6.
But I think it's weird to me that they didn't do anything with the classes, considering how much other stuff they made up for the book. Like, it's not like they were lazy in the normal OGL way of, oh, we're not going to introduce any new mechanics. There's new stuff in there. They just decided to not do anything with the thing that you are most likely to interact with.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And it's pretty clear that they just took D20 Modern's whole thing and were like, we'll just change the name from Savvy Hero to Savvy Wrestler.
Smart.
Yeah, so there you have it. I'm going to say my least favorite thing, because no one said it yet, is that it takes forever to do any one particular move in this game. If you want to just go off the turnbuckle and clothesline a guy, that's so many things.
Yes, no, that's the actual reality of the game. The worst part of the game is the core engagement.
It's just like us.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So there you go. The game basically has a huge problem with... The game basically has a huge problem with overcomplexity, which was a common issue at the time. A lot of these OGL shovelware games will be like, okay, how do we take, I don't know, Game of Thrones and turn it into a 3.5 game? Well, we're going to have to use everything, so, okay, we're going to have to track people's dynastic lines. I guess we could make that feet chains.
Oh, no, what house you're in is your race.
Yeah, that's definitely your species. Mm-hmm. a Terrell gets a plus two charisma.
Ooh.
Yeah, like that kind of thing's gonna. And we keep finding. I have so many more of these.
I have the Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah,
3.5, by the way, and it is this big.
I have the Wheel of Time one.
Oh, I love the Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
One.
So anyway, that's the at this point. Would you play this game?
You know, I think I would.
Okay.
I do think I would.
And surprise, you are! Now we will!
Vince oh, no, I didn't mean here. It! I didn't mean it! Let me out!
Jim, would you play this game again?
I would never, ever, 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 ever touch this game again. Our game ended that I was playing online 6 years ago on Roll20, the fabulous Roll20 cheap plug. And the reason being is because no one, I believe, could have fun playing this game. And we all unanimously agreed we should be doing something else with our time.
Yeah, just go wrestle.
Yeah.
Just go in the yard and wrestle.
Just get out there like a couple of guys and wrestle.
Wrestle.
Just guys being dudes. Is there anything better?
And John, would you, could you play The Rock?
Oh, I would play The Rock like a fiddle.
But would you play this game, though?
Oh, no. I would definitely play the White Wolf wrestling game way over this. Are you kidding me?
I mean, there's a couple of... I mean, if we're going to go on to make additional recommendations, which we've never done before, but we'd be smart. There's Worldwide Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very good game.
That's a good one that you should actually play.
So there's actually good wrestling games out there if this is the kind of thing you're into. Well, and by the way, I would not play this. I've got better things to do with my time than dig through OGL shovelware games.
I can't believe like you don't want to. I want to play this game and do everything in my power not to wrestle. That's where I'm at with this game. I want to use every mechanic not involved in a match.
You already shot down my Triple H crying masturbation scene.
What more do you want?
Was there too much wrestling in it?
Yeah, exactly.
There's wrestling, grappling, the whole gamut.
Would like to state for the record, Triple H does not cry, he never has, and he never will. Thank you. As he is now in charge of hiring new wrestlers for WWE, I want that on the stand. Jim McClure has stated for the record that...
Fine, I'll strike that part from the proposal about the two Vince McMahons.
I don't like this Triple H 4-hour crying pay-per-view idea that you put in. I don't think our audience will like it.
Doctor,
I'm feeling depressed. Go see Triple H, greatest wrestler of all time.
But doctor, I am Triple H.
Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, we've been System Mastery. We'll skip the promos because this is a live show, and we'll just finish this off answering.
Thank you so much to Jim McClure.
Our guest, Thank you, Jim McClure. Thank you, James D'Amato.
Boo.
And thank you all for coming as well.
Give yourselves a round of applause.
Yeah. Now,
wait, you were heels. You got to boo yourselves. I'm sorry.
Technically, they're not going to kick us out of this room for another 15 minutes. So if you have any questions you want to ask, go right ahead. Just shoot up your hand or whatever.
Even if
good, don't then.
No, we did it.
It's fine.
We
all right, it. Great. You can just catch us. We'll be all over here. It's fine.
All right.
There you go.
No,
seduction is a skill that was removed from the game. There's bluff, diplomacy, that kind of thing. There was you'd think they just include that 3.0 seduction skill as is, but they did not.
You know, that's actually fascinating, Jimmy, because that was like in the post Attitude era, like 2002 to 2005, around this. Like they did a lot of those really skeezy angles.
Yeah, weren't you telling me about Edge in like a bed or something?
Oh no, that was like 2008. That was what I was watching. No, the live sex celebration they did on TV.
Yeah.
A heel won the championship belt, and to celebrate, they did a live sex celebration.
There was a lot of crying.
It was
it was Vince because he was so proud of it.
Right.
And his idea.
Famously, that's where that GIF comes, or graphical if comes from. Yeah, I kind of fence sit on that matter, right? People say it's GIF or GIF, and they get in big fights about it. I call it a graphical if.
There's this big pointy fence between it, and he sits right
on
it.
Right on the fence.
Mm-hmm. You can't be in the middle of that.
It's a graphical if, baby.
It's a graphical if. All right. Question.
Are items like socks, mannequin heads, and bags of snakes magical items or normal items?
I think they're just props. The only things that give you bonuses in this game
are
weapons. Yeah. I don't know if you hit people with Socko. Do you?
I think if you were to use Socko in a match, I would say it's magical.
So if I give my wizard
socks? I mean, it can talk. It's obviously an intelligent magical item.
That's got to be an exotic
or
weapon.
Or is that a familiar though. At that point?
That's a homunculus. Yeah, that's it. It's an ally.
My leadership skill went up. Now I've got 12 Sockos. One of them is the leader of the Sockos. It's got more levels.
I get a keep and 2d10 Sockos to staff it. Yes. We are, but we're not going to do it here because we don't have time. But there will be bonus content for this episode. Same as always. It'll just be up on the Patreon like we always do.
And if you're not on the Patreon, get a goddamn Patreon.
Yeah,
that's not for you. I assume everyone here is on the Patreon.
We always do, if you're not on our Patreon, what we do for the bonus content for this show is we dive a little deeper into character creation and build characters in the game. We've been trying to kind of make it more interesting when we have to do these OGL things because... Lord knows I never want to make another first level third edition character. I've made like 17 million. I've made more than there are days in a year. Yes?
So obviously GM pizza is for nerds. So what's this game's equivalent?
Oh,
it's a beer that you crack open and then slam, and most of it goes on your face, and then you throw it at the audience.
No. He wasn't in the game, so we can't do that.
No.
What we have to do instead is drink bottled water and then spray out a mist.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Not it's blood from a goblet?
I'm doing
if anyone has water, I am fantastic at that, by the way. I am so good at
I got one here.
Is Chris Benoit in this?
No, but his balls are. Nice. Thank you. I've got it all. You have no idea how many masturbation Socko jokes I just passed.
Wow,
oh! Yeah! Look at that! That is still up there!
Good job. No, he does not want that back.
I think it's still up there.
Yeah.
Still, oh.
Everyone's going to breathe that in later.
What would you say, just real quick, before we have to get out, what would you say if you had to build yourself as a wrestler, which you are, in this game, would be your primary class?
There's mist on everything. Sure, that's unrelated.
Mistmaster.
If that's a
book of nine swords wrestler.
Doing that was a real missed opportunity.
Woo!
No.
Join the Patreon, folks.
So hold on. Do you mean actually making Jim McClure?
Yeah, Jim McClure.
Aaron Cross, I think.
Or who Jim McClure sees himself as a wrestler, because they're wildly different human beings.
If you were building Aaron Cross and you had to pick your first level of experience, which one of the classes in this game would you start with?
Oh, God. It wasn't called Striker, wasn't it called something else?
Oh, that's the is that the Dex one you want or the Strength one?
Not the Strength one. What's the Dex one? Is it
High Flyer?
No, High Flyer.
The Rough, I think, is
the
what
rough.
You're for.
That's what the hell they call
the rough
it.
Wrestler.
Yeah, I would be the
you're
Rough.
You're a Rough Rider.
Yeah.
Rough. Yeah. He's ribbed for your pleasure.
Factually sure.
All right, quick, someone ask me a question before it gets worse.
Well, what about you if you're going to build yourself as a wrestler?
Oh, I'm definitely going to build myself as a manager. That's what I'm all... I mean, all I have is voice.
You fucking dad.
Hot dog question. Designed a wrestling match themed around hot dogs.
I mean, obviously, it's at the top of the ladder that you have to get
okay,
to.
Yeah.
Briefcase full of hot dogs match.
Briefcase of hot dogs.
Yeah. There is a hot dog dangling above the ring.
Oh, my God. There's dangle meat?
Yeah, it's dangle meat. There's no ham. There's pig in it,
okay.
Though.
There's dangle. So we're talking dangle pork.
We're talking dangle pork. There's a ladder beneath it.
Oh, I dangle pork. Don't you worry about that.
I think that's the title of the Triple H thing.
For the record, I do not condone.
Dad is between you and the dangle meat, though. Do you eat it?
Oh, okay.
Frankenstein's dad? So yeah, I gobble him up.
So we're working through some of the in-jokes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm probably going to have a bottle of something with me. That'll get rid of Frankenstein's dad.
Well, the bottle of something is medicine that you got from the super tough penis doctors.
Obviously.
So.
And obviously their medicine is mostly alcoholic, and the real Frankenstein's dad's monster is alcoholism.
Yep.
And I think we're working our way through to this. In the end, the ultimate response is, John, how you doing?
Oh, I'd like a donkey talk is how I'm doing.
And scene.
I now feel exactly like someone who did not watch wrestling in 2005 reading Know Your Role. Yeah. Just total abject confusion.
Although on Patreon.
I do like the donkey song. I'm not going to lie. I
love when we get questions about how we found that or if we commissioned it or something. That's my favorite thing to answer. And I'm like, no, I Googled donkey song. And it was the first result.
There's got to be some kind of donkey song out there.
Who's got a donkey song for a guy?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was looking for a different one I knew of, that wonky donkey donkey or whatever song, the Australian.
You found the best one.
I found the best one ever. And if I ever get the chance, I'm going to a fucking Jared Neiman concert.
I'm super, super disappointed about having no legacy wrestlers in this book because Donkey Song is one of my favorite wrestlers.
Oh, yeah. Who could forget Donkey Song?
Oh, yeah. His matches with 10-year-old girl. Just amazing.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry. Am I going too far back in the in-jokes for
you? Cartoon hot dog?
Yeah.
10-year-old girl?
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
That's who we are. I'm a cartoon hot dog, and he's a 10-year-old girl.
We don't really do these in-jokes anymore, but don't think we forgot them.
That one's a hard one to parse from the outside.
Oh, and donkey talk is easy?
Yes! Relatively.
One of these days I'm going to show up for Gen Con, and donkey talk's just going to be our live show.
Oh, yeah.
As it should be.
Just a full hour.
Yeah.
I think you're done. I've been trying to stretch you up that fucking YouTube video for a long time.